Parsha Shlach, the very final pasuk in this week's parsha, is of course the final pasuk in Krishna, and therefore this is something we say every day of our lives twice, and it's definitely well worth considering for a moment or two. At the end of Parsha Shema, the end of Tzitzis, we say Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Etzeisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim Li'ezer Achem Le'Elokim Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Famous pasuk, as you mentioned, every day of our lives, morning, evening, without fail. And the obvious question, and Rashi addresses this, is why does the pasuk say Ani Hashem Elokeichem twice? Fair question. Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Etzeisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. And then once again, at the end of the pasuk, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. He already said that at the beginning of the pasuk. So Rashi himself says that what the pasuk means is as follows: Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I'm HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you can trust me to give you schar for mitzvahs. That's what Rashi says. Ne'emon lipora. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be relied upon for giving schar for mitzvahs. So why then does it say Ani Hashem Elokeichem again at the end of the pasuk? Because maybe someone will come along and he'll say, listen, here's the deal. If we do mitzvahs, then we get schar. Okay. So it's my prerogative to choose not to do mitzvahs and therefore not get schar. That's why the Torah stresses, no. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, it's not optional. It's a promise that if you do the mitzvahs, you get schar. But it's not an optional relationship. You have to do the mitzvah. That's why it says again, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. That's the way Rashi learns. It's very similar, by the way, very interesting, Sefer HaChassidim, which was written almost 1,000 years ago by one of the Gedolei Rishonim, Rav Yehuda HaChassid. He says there, very fascinating, it was asked the following interesting, but very tragic shaila. The Gemara says that if you are mashlim the parashiyos with the tzibur. In other words, if you are makfid on shnai mikro, the paragraph every week, then what's your schar? Your schar is you'll be zoicha to arichas yomim. That's what the Gemara says. That if you are makfid on shnai mikro, you'll be zoicha to arichas yomim. So somebody wrote to the Sefer Hasidim and said, to be quite frank, I'd rather not have arichas yomim. A very tragic life, very tortured, wretched existence, I'd rather not have a long life. So does that therefore mean that I don't have to do Shnai Mikra? If the Gemara is telling me the Rebbe's Makbid to Shnai Mikra gets long life, so presumably if you're not, then you don't get long life. That seems to be fine. I don't want long life, he said. So the Sefer Hasidim corrected him and said, no, it's not optional. You have to be Makayim the Mitzvah Shnai Mikra. You don't get a choice whether you do or don't do it. It happens to be that if you do it properly in your mind, you get a long life. Whether you want long life or not, that's not the discussion. See, either way, similarly, Rashi is telling us the same. That yes, you'll get schar for mitzvahs, but it doesn't mean it's optional. You have to do the mitzvahs whether you like it or not. That's the way Rashi explains Ani Hashem Elokeichem being mentioned twice. Others learn quite differently. The Malbim, for example, has a different approach, and he says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I took you out of Mitzrayim, but then you got put back into Golus. So Ani Hashem Elokeichem, once again, don't think the Kesher was severed. Many different explanations. What I'd like to share with you tonight is the very beautiful approach that I saw actually this week in the name of Rav Shimon Schwab. It's a friend of the brother. And I'd like to, if I may, introduce it and then try and explain it. There is a Mishnah. This is by way of introduction to his explanation of why it says Ani Hashem Elokeichem twice. There is a Mishnah in Masechtas Yodayim, Perigim, and it says as follows: Kol Ksuvin Kodesh, all of Ksuvin, Neviim, Torah, Ksuvin, Tanakh, they're all Kodesh. But Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kodshim, the Holy of Holies. What sets Shir HaShirim apart to give it Kodesh Kodshim status? So you could say, because it describes in very useful terminology the whole relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like husband and wife, etc., etc. But I once saw the explanation in a sefer called Darkei Musar, and he explains as follows. And this is really the story of the Moshe tonight. When Klal Yisrael, for example, sang Shira, a magnificent Shira, we say it every day of our lives, but they were saying the Shira in reaction to a miss. Under those circumstances, it's very easy to sing Shira. Why wouldn't you? You just had Kriyas Yom Suf in front of your own eyes, you just had your enemies vanquished forever, why wouldn't you sing Shira? But if you look in Shir HaShirim, Shlomo HaMelech, who composed Shir HaShirim, is not singing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in reaction to a miracle or in reaction to some sort of salvation that he was there to. To the contrary, there's a pasuk there, it says Metzauni HaShomrim, he says, people found me, and you know what they did to me? Hikuni Petzauni, they beat me up and they injured me. Well, if that's the case, why are you singing Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu then? That's Kodesh Kodshim. If you can sing Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when things are perhaps not so positive, that sets that Shira apart. That's the way the Darkei Musar explains. And it's very fascinating to note, by the way, even though, as I mentioned, Shir HaShirim describes vividly the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, but the name of Hashem is not actually mentioned in Shir HaShirim. And that's the whole point. Because even when you can't, as it were, see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but nonetheless we have the Emunah, that our relationship with Him is still as strong as it ever is, and I can still sing to Him. It's very reminiscent of a famous vort that we've mentioned a number of times in the name of the Kotzke Rebbe, a Moyedike vort. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Nebuchadnezzar was conquering all before him. Every battle he was engaged in, he was victorious, he conquered all before him. So much so, it says that he wanted to sing Shirei HaKadosh Baruch Hu to outdo those of David HaMelech into him. That's what he wanted to do. Comes along the Malach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent a Malach, Sotroi Alpeh, and gave him a bash on his mouth. And he didn't sing after that. So, the Kotzke Rebbe asked, it doesn't seem to be fair. Let the man sing. He wants to sing Shirois, he wants to eclipse the Shirois of David HaMelech. Fair is fair. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu send the Malach to give him this strike on his mouth to, as it were, keep him silent? Says the Kotzke Rebbe, that's not the pshat. He didn't send him the Malach to keep him silent. Do you know what the Malach was doing? Nebuchadnezzar, you think you can outdo David HaMelech by singing Shira? It's very easy to sing Shira when you just conquered half the world. Look into Ilim. David HaMelech, when did he say Shira? Whilst escaping from his own son Avshalom, whilst engaged in war, whilst amidst every single sorrow, that's when he sings Shira. You think you can outdo that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a bash on his mouth. I hurt now. Now let's sing Shira. In other words, the bash on his mouth, the Sotra El Piv, wasn't to keep him silent. It was to inflict pain. Let's see if you can sing Shira even when things hurt. You can't, so don't think you're any better than David HaMelech. David HaMelech, he was able to sing Shira Mitech Tzara when things weren't so poshut. In fact, he himself said in Tehillim, Lahagid Baboiker Chasdecha. In the Boiker, we see the Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Emunoscha Balelos. When it's night, and things are not so clear, and we perhaps don't see the Yad Hashem as clearly as we would like, we still have Emunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I were to ask you the question, would you say that Paro in Mitzrayim was an atheist or a believer in God? The real question, the real answer to that question is there seems to be an open contradiction. On the one hand, if you look in Parashat Mikes, when Yosef interprets the dream, what does he say? Oh, I see, Asher Ish, Asher Ruach Elohim, there's a godly man. So clearly he relates to God. And then he says, Vayeme Pari El Yosef Acharei Hoidia Elohim Oyscha. I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu has helped you out. So he clearly relates to HaKadosh Baruch. Fast forward to Parashat Shemois. Moshe Rabbeinu tells him to release Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim, and he says, "Mi Hashem, Asher Eshev B'Kolei." Hashem, never heard of him. You never heard of him. Just two or three parashas ago, you related to him, you associated, you mentioned his name and say yourself. Whether it was the same Paroi or a different Paroi, why did one relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and one denied his existence? And the answer is, it's very easy to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you just had your dreams interpreted. Not so easy to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you've just been told to release the whole nation from doing work. Oh, that doesn't suit me. Hashem, who is he? Never heard of him. When Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, we say this every year on Pesach, Leila Seder. Ba'avur Zeh, we point to the Matzah and the Maror. Yesha'or Sheyesh Matzah U'Maror Munochim Lefonech. Ba'avur Zeh, this is the whole point. So listen to the way Rav Meir Simcha, listen to the way Ben Asher Chochmah explains this. And he gives a moshel. So the wealthy father-in-law marries off his daughter to a wonderful young man, and he provides his son-in-law with a brand new house, car, free spending on the credit card. And his wife says to him, she says, "You know, I'm so delighted, I must say, with our new son-in-law, he seems to be looking after our daughter in such a wonderful way, he seems to have tremendous shalom bias, I'm so thrilled." Father-in-law says, "Yes, free spending on my credit cards. Let's have a look the way he treats my daughter once I stop giving him the credit card. It's very easy for him to be wonderful, shalom bias, and to treat her well when you've just been given a free house, free car, and free spending on the credit card." Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "I've taken you out of Mitzrayim, and I'm going to give you the Torah, and you can cover all the mitzvahs. It's very, very easy to be mekabel the Torah when you've just seen all the nisim from Mitzrayim. But when there's matzah u'maror munochim lefonecho, matzah is a bread of affliction, maror is bitter herbs, are you going to mekayim the mitzvahs then as well? When you no longer have a Kodesh Baruch Hu's credit card? Or only when everything is going easily and smoothly and well and pleasant? But Avor Zeh, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I took you out of Mitzrayim. Why? Not so that you should be mekabel the mitzvahs only when it's easy and when everything makes sense. But even when there's matzah and even when there's maror, let's have a look then if you can also be mekayim the mitzvahs." And indeed, we were mekabel the Torah twice. We were mekabel the Torah when Shavuot Na'aseh V'Nishma, and then hundreds of years later, second time around, when were we mekabel the Torah again? And the Purim story, it says, "Kinu v'kiblu," they were mekabel the Torah all over again. You know why? What was the common denominator, and yet what was the difference between the two Kabbalahs HaTorah? Yeah, the common denominator was they both followed magnificent miracles. One in Mitzrayim, one in the time of Esther. But that's where the common denominator ends. Because a difference being, in Mitzrayim, they were open miracles. And in Megillas Esther, it was Esther, hidden. There wasn't Gilui Ponim, it was Hester Ponim. You makabel the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu 7 weeks after HaKadosh Baruch Hu has just split the sea for you and produced 10 plagues and taken you out of Mitzrayim, that's all very easy. Can you be makabel the Torah even when there's Hester upon him as well? Even when, as it were, Kaviyoko, you can't see the Rabbeinu Shalom, when things perhaps don't make sense anymore. Listen to the way, and then we'll get to Shimon Schwab's explanation. Listen to the most magnificent Maral in Netzach Yisrael when he talks about the concept of an Erev Tashiyah. The halacha is, if you have Yom Tov and a day after Shabbos, then you're not allowed to prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos. To make an Erev Tashiyah, that's different. Listen to the way that the Maral explains this in this magnificent way. What does Yom Tov mean? Literally translated, Yom Tov, good days. What's Shabbos? Shabbos is, as always, the reference to Olam Haba, Me'ein Olam Haba is Shabbos. You have to prepare for Shabbos. That's our job in this world, to prepare for Shabbos. As it says, whoever prepared on Erev Shabbos will have what to eat on Shabbos. But if you prepare only on Yom Tov, only when things are going well, then that's not a preparation for Shabbos. Because what are you telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu? On my terms. When everything is just fine and dandy, then I'm prepared to prepare for Shabbos, as it were. Therefore, we don't prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos. Rather, we say, prepare in advance, even before it was Yom Tov, even when things weren't so good. Oh, that's a proper preparation for Shabbos. Magnificent explanation of the Maharal. So let's now come back to our pasuk. Ami Hashem Aleikeichem Asher Etzeisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim Liyos Lachem Aleikim. And then once again, Ami Hashem Aleikeichem. In light of our introduction, I think we understand now the following. Rav Shimon Schwab says, Ami Hashem Aleikeichem. I'm kabbal on myself, all the Torah, all the mitzvahs, and I believe in Hashem. When? Asher Hoitzesi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Says the Torah, Ani Hashem Aleikeichem once again, when? Even when I haven't taken you out of Mitzrayim. It's all very easy to have emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to sing Shira, and to mekabel Kaya Mitzvahs, and to mekabel the Torah, and to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when? Hoitzesi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim, says the Torah, but it doesn't end there. Rather, Ani Hashem Aleikeichem at other times as well, don't forget. Not only when I've just taken you out of Mitzrayim. There are two types of hanhogos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes conducts himself in a very open way, like he did in Mitzrayim, open miracles. And then we have God. Anoichi haster asti. There's no gilui upon him, there's hester upon him. So let's have a look. How are you prepared to be makabal on yourselves all the mitzvahs? Ani Hashem Aleikeichem, Ani HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Asher Etzeisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim. That's not where it ends. Even when there's no free spending on the credit card. Also, how does the pasuk conclude? Ani Hashem Aleikeichem then as well. Meaning, not only when I took you out of Mitzrayim. Says Rav Shimon Schwab, in conclusion, a most magnificent addition. A most magnificent addition. When we say Shema in the mornings, every single day of our lives, without fail, Ani Hashem Aleikeichem, and we immediately continue Emes V'yatziv V'nochoyim V'kayim V'yosha. What does the Gemara tell us? You're not supposed to be mastic between one and the other. That's what he says. Hashem Aleikeichem Emes. There's no such pasuk Hashem Aleikeichem Emes. Ani Hashem Aleikeichem, full stop. But we say Hashem Aleikeichem Emes V'yatziv, you mustn't be mastic. Says Rav Shimon Schwab, this magnificent edition. He says, he quotes the names of Rishonim. Where does this text come from? Emes V'yatziv, V'nochayim, V'kayam, V'yosha. He says, in the times of the Golos, when Ezra brought back Klal Yisrael to Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael, there were those who remained behind in Golos. And they were amongst the Goyim in Golos, and they sent this Nusach to Ezra, Emes, V'yatzi, V'nochem, V'kayim, V'yashem, etc., etc. So Shimon Shvab says, that's why you mustn't be mafsik between one and the other. This was composed by Yidden in Golos. Therefore you have to read the whole thing in one breath. Ani Hashem Elokeichem asher hotzeiti eschem eretz Mitzrayim. That's true. That's one type of mode of contact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with us. Mitzrayim. But keep on reading. Again, Ani Hashem Elokeichem emes v'yatzi v'nochem v'yachem minal, even in Golos. Even when you're amongst the Goyim, and Klal Yisrael are being tortured and persecuted. Even then, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, don't forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like we said, Shir Hashirim is Kodesh Kodshim. It's very easy to sing when things are going well. But when things are not going so easy, we don't perhaps see the Ribbono Shel Olam in an open way. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, second time round as well. Ad Kan Divrei Reb Shimon Shvab. A very beautiful explanation of this pasuk. Again, Ani Hashem Elokeichem is repeated twice. One, to teach you that you have to have this relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you see open miracles like those of Mitzrayim, and so too also when you don't see open miracles at Kan. So I'd like, if I may, just to make one simple addition. When I saw this verse of Reb Shimon Shvab, as beautiful as it is, we need to ask ourselves the question, fine, it's a very profound and very important lesson. But why on earth is it taught to us in the parasha of Tzitzit? It's a very important lesson. It can be taught to us in any parasha of the Torah. You have to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu under all circumstances, not just when it's easy and everything's going just fine and dandy. Why is Tzitzit the place that this lesson was taught to us? And I think the answer is very simple. Because why do we have the mitzvah of tzitzis? Says the Sforno. You will see your tzitzis and you will remember. What will you remember? Says the Sforno, tizkuru, you will remember sha'atem avodim lakelius barach. You are servants, what could it be? Tzitzis is a constant reminder that we are, every one of us, an Eved Hashem. The Sefer Achinuch says the same, and he adds, he says, the derech of an Eved is he wears slave clothes. He wears slave clothes. So we, on our clothes, have a constant reminder that we too are Avodim. Avodim of HaKadosh Baruch. That's the principle of the mitzvah of tzitzis. So if that's the case, then we understand this is the perfect place to teach us this lesson. Imagine the master tells the Eved, excuse me, could you just clean the floor? No problem at all. Could you set the table? No problem at all. Could you go out and do some shopping for me? No, I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. It's too difficult for me. You're an Eved. An Eved has to obey the instructions of the master, whether things are easy or whether things are hard. And if he picks and chooses when he listens to his master, then he's not a half Eved. He's not an Eved at all. An Eved, by definition, is somebody who is completely obeying the Rotzen of the Odoi. A half Eved is a non-Eved. If the Eved picks and chooses when and if he listens to the master, then he's no longer an Eved. Basically, he's saying, I'll do whatever I want on my terms, or when I happen to choose, if it's convenient for me. So if this is the constant reminder that we are an Eved Hashem, then this is the perfect place to teach us, do you know what it means to be an Eved Hashem? An Eved Hashem means that you have to be an Eved when things are easy, but also again, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, even when things are not so easy. This is the perfect parasha for us to be taught to us. You'll excuse me. We'll have to tell a joke. Some jokes, a lot of jokes, have emes in them. And this is a perfect example, and I think this is very much related to what we're talking about. You know, they tell the story of somebody who parachutes from his plane, and his parachute doesn't open. He's hurtling down. to his death, instant death. And he's an atheist. So what does he do? He's a bit stuck. So he looks up at heaven and he says, please, I don't believe there's a God. But if there is one, produce a miracle and I'll believe. Produce the miracle and I'll believe. A second later, there's a bas koel min hashamayim, a heavenly voice emerges, and it says, grab hold of the branch. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, appears a branch, and he grabs hold of it, and he's saved. And he's saved. That's it, he believes in God. I'm stuck. Yes, made a deal. Produce the miracle, I believe. And suddenly appears a branch, and he's swaying in the wind. He can't believe his luck, and he survives, and he believes in God. All of a sudden, there's another bas koel. Heavenly voice emerges once again from heaven and it says, now let go the branch. So he looks up to heaven and he says, is there anyone else up there? In other words, it's very easy to have a munah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he's just produced a miracle for you. So when the branch is there and it saved your life, fine, I believe. Let go the branch, but I don't understand that. That doesn't make sense so much to me. Yeah, let's see if you really are an Eved Hashem or not. If you're the only the Eved Hashem when the branch is sticking out, then you believe, Ani Hashem Alekeichem, Asher Yitzeis Yeschem, Eretz Mitzrayim, but that's where you end your pasuk. But the Eved Hashem who believes that even when you have to let go of the branch and keep on reading, Ani Hashem Alekeichem, that's the true Eved Hashem. We'll just conclude with a famous story. I think I've mentioned this in the past. In Kovna, the Kovna Rabbi, Yitzchak Elchanan, was the great Gadol HaDor, the undisputed leader of all of European Jewry in pre-war Europe. In Kovna, there was a very wealthy Jew. In fact, he was the wealthiest Jew in Kovna. His wealth was all invested in 10 enormous ships, which were laden with merchandise and all types of wealth. They were docking and porting and sailing, and that's where they were trading, and that's where all his business, all his wealth was invested. A telegram arrives one day in Kovna, not to him, it was received by the authorities. All 10 boats of this wealthy man had just sunk. In other words, the wealthiest man in Kovna has just now become the poorest man in Kovna. How are you going to tell him? He's going to pass 8.5 stack on the spot. So, in time-honored tradition, they mechaber the Rav. They went to Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, you're the Rav, you're going to have to deal with this. He gives him the telegram, he puts it in his pocket, and he says, I'll deal with this. He calls in this wealthy man, who's now no longer wealthy, and he says, Tim, I need your help. He says, sure, whatever I can do, I'm happy to help you. How much do you need? He says, no, I don't need any financial help. I need your help in the following. I'm thinking of running an Emunah and Bitochen campaign here in Kovna. Okay, wonderful, but what was that going to do with me? He said, I'll tell you. If I get up and I give shiurim and lectures on Emunah and Bitochen, you have belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and whether things are good or whether things are bad, everything is min Hashem, everything is l'tov, and however much we're earning, all our money comes from Hashem. If I get up and say that, what will people say? Say that, is the Rav? No, he's got to say that. What do you expect? But if you would say that, if you would get up in front of the tzibur and say, you know, I'm a wealthy man, but I also believe everything is min hashamayim, and whether good things happen to us or bad, it's all min hashamayim, yes, and emunah and bitachon. Oh, that will make a very profound impression. That, I think, would be much more powerful than if I say it. Fine, I'm willing to help the Rav. So he said to him, fine. And in order to lecture on this, you have to believe in it. So I'm going to study with you in depth, spend a lot of time with you. We're going to learn Chavos Halvavos, Shar HaBitochen, in order to make you a really strong Beiteach Bashem. Fine. And they sit, they learn hour after hour, day after day. Chavos Halvavos, Shar HaBitochen, and then the other Sforim that deal with Bitochen. And after a while, Yitzchak Elchanan says to him, you know, we've been learning Bitochen. How's your Bitochen? Very, very strong. Rock solid. He says, tell me, if I were to tell you, I know you have 10 boats sailing, imagine I'll tell you 5 of them have sunk. 5 of them have sunk? That's half my world gone. thinks about it, he says, I could take it. After all, we've learned, and I've really been this chazak and emunah and bitoch of Hashem, and I realized everything, I could take it. Alright? And what was I telling you? Six boats, that's a roya. I couldn't take that. I couldn't. Right? They open up the Chodesh HaHodesh once again, let's be Mr. Chazak even more, and they spend longer time in further levels and in greater depths, emunah and bitochim. And he says, if I tell you, there are six or seven of your boats have sunk. Deep gulp, gasp for air, I could take it. I could take it after all of my deep levels of the moon and stuff, I could take it. And what happens if I tell you nine of your boats have sunk? Nine, I feel like I'm a terrible sign. Look, at least I've got one boat left. I could take it. And what happens if I told you all ten have sunk? Ten, but I've got nothing left. Five, they sit once again, even deeper levels of emunah, and they study the works of Rishonim in further depth. And eventually, Yitzchak Ochman says to him, "Tell me, if I would tell you all ten boats of yours have sunk, theoretically, all ten boats have sunk, what would you say?" He thinks, I could take it. I have very solid emunah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, and everything is a toy from Parnasa comes from Hashemayim. I could take it. Upon which, he takes the telegram out of his pocket and says, well, read this. And he passed out on the spot. Fainted on the spot. And eventually he came round. And Rabbi Yitzchak Ochman says, I don't understand. We spent so long being mischazik in emunah and in bitochen, and I asked you, what happens if I tell you if 10 boats have gone, what would you say? You said you could take it. So what happened to you? And he said, I said I could take it as long as I knew in the back of my mind that all 10 boats were actually sailing. But when push comes to shove, when he told me that actually sunk, oh, that was an altogether different proposition. I know I have an uncle, some of you may know, in London, who I find. He once told me, he's a senior rabbi in the United Synagogue in England. And he told me he once met one of the junior rabbis. And he said to him, tell me, how are you getting on in your new position as a rabbi? And he said, I'll be quite honest, it's very rough. What do you mean? He said, well, the pay isn't that good. Salary, very, very schwach. I don't know how I'm going to support my family. I've got kids, I have to marry. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do. Martha said to me, you know, I don't understand. Presumably, you give lectures in this type of union. You're giving classes in Emunah and Bitochen. Where's yours? He said to my uncle, Rabbi, you don't understand. This is the Maisa. We laugh. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day that he shouldn't send us these things. But the reality of life is HaKadosh Baruch Hu does send us these things. And when it comes to Lamaisa, and when the boats do sink, and when we're told that we do have to let go of the branch, it's too late to become a Maimon. You have to prepare yourselves. And Muna and Bitochrein is a very easy subject to speak about. It's not so easy to put into practice. Because when we're told to let go of the branch, when the boats do sink, and when it becomes Lamaisa, all of a sudden it's an altogether different proposition. We can easily believe Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hoceichem Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, first time round. But the Ani Hashem Elokeichem second time round, that takes hard work. That's a lifetime's work. And that's why, Baruch Hashem, we have a lot of sparring and a lot of help from Rabbi Yisrael HaRishonim VaAchreinim to deal with these topics of Emunah and Bitochen and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If these are studied and they're made into projects, as I mentioned, we shouldn't be tested. But if and when the reality strikes and the Nisyonos do hit, we'll be prepared. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't send the Nisyon without the capability to deal with it. But one has to be able to put that into practice. And one can put that into practice if one made into a project of studying Emunah, you know, Bitochen,
Our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's it supposed to look like? Otherwise it'll be too late. That's what we're being taught in our parasha.
The mitzvah of tzitzis, which is the reminder, a constant reminder that we are an eved Hashem, a real eved is an eved under all circumstances. Not when he picks and chooses, and not when it's easy, and not when things are good for him. We should be zeicha to see both halves of this pasuk, Yani Hashem Elokeichem, second time round, but also first time round. Asher Eseis Yeschem Eretz Mitzrayim. We shouldn't be tested. We shouldn't have tzoros chas v'shalom. But if, in the eventuality of life, when things are not always so easy, Beis Hashem, we should have a koiches. Our emuna and our bitachon should be strong enough that we should believe in the second Ani Hashem Elokeichem as well. Yeah.